B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week-ending episode of Checkpoint Daily. On today's episode, we'll talk about what is going on with the Halo Infinite multiplayer beta. It is not out yet. Also, Perfect Dark could be coming back. And China has declared something crazy again. And we close the show, of course, with that absolutely magnificent Nintendo Direct. This is Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game.
Hey, everybody, Checkpoint Daily. Your host, Norris Howard, here. As always, very happy to share another week in video game news with you. I'm going to be honest. I am on an emotional high right now from the Nintendo Direct. I am still hype, rewatching everything in preparation for the show today. I got hype again, so we will go into it in depth in part two, so stick around for that. But first, obviously, we want to say who's here in the room with us. Number one, we got Weird Beard. What's up?
Hello. That reminds me of Hamilton. I want to be in the room where it happens.
That's right.
There's all that.
What?
I know. You think I would? It's just one of those.
Listen, I almost said, I wanted to say something that may have been a little stereotypical, but Chad, how have I seen Hamilton and you have not?
It's one of those things. I'm very picky of my musicals, and Hamilton wasn't at the top of my list.
I haven't seen it either.
What?
I hate musicals.
I love musicals, but again, I'm very picky.
I literally, if there's a film and somebody starts singing, it takes almost everything in me to not just turn it off.
Well, I love good musical, but I love high energy. But I guess Hamilton does have some high energy stuff, so I guess I should.
I mean, it feels even worse to me that I haven't seen it because it's not a typical musical, because rap.
Yeah, it's rap. Rappy.
Yeah, but that's why I hate it.
It's pretty good.
I hate it.
I mean, it was like a phenomenon.
Listen, I understand.
I have to watch
it. No, I understand that. But it was, and listen, I'm not trying to disrespect Lin-Manuel Miranda at all.
I think he
did something amazing. I like that he recontextualized both rap and American history. It's something that had never been done before, and I recognize it as a seminal piece of American art.
It's like saying, you know, like West Side Story, man.
However, it's a musical.
He's not gonna like that. I don't know where you're going with this.
But at the same time, it's just like, you made a musical about rap, about how rap sounded in 1993, and it's like, get Future to co-write
it. How much money would it take for you to watch Hamilton?
I don't know.
Is it under $200?
Yeah.
Is it under $100?
No.
The fact that you have to pay him to watch.
I'll say this. It will take more for me, honestly, to watch it at home than to watch it in person. To watch it in person, I feel like, is the original way it's supposed to be watched and consumed and viewed. And therefore, my secondhand embarrassment of hearing other people rap and sing is lessened because I am feeling the energy off you.
But if you watch the movie, it's when they were doing it live.
No, it's not the same.
Okay.
It's not the same. It's like American Idol. Like, I can watch it when in the beginning when it's funny and stupid and people think they sing that can't. It's the people in the middle that bother me. Like, not the super good, like, you know, Fantasia. Like, as soon as she opened her motherfucking mouth, we knew she was special. Okay? Not her. I'm talking about the weird motherfuckers in the middle who is like, if you had some training, you could be good. But then I just get embarrassed.
Yes. I mean, but usually Broadway is like the creme de la creme.
No, it is. I'm just saying
non-Broadway you're talking
about.
Okay.
I'm just saying this is where this, I don't know. This is where this anxiety stems from.
Like High School Musicals is what turned you off everything, essentially.
You know what it is. It's just people don't react that way in real life, and that's the thing that bothers
me. Theater in general.
No, I mean, the thing about theater is I can watch a play that is about people just doing stuff. Like, okay, here's a musical I like. I like Rent. And
the most dour, depressing musical to ever hit Broadway.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, because that's real life. That's how shit happens.
I mean, people get real sad and they sing about it. You're right. That is real life.
Do you want a Schindler's List musical?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that's real life. I'm saying like musicals. Like I think of West Side Story, and there's like, oh, this gang, and they fight each other, and I'm just like, dog.
If we have
a gang fight, I'm not going like. That's not how we do things.
I mean, if you know that you can win that fight, I'd totally do it just for like.
No!
What are you going to do? Stop me?
I have two musicals for
you. Pistol play!
You don't want. I have two musicals for you that aren't taking itself seriously, and that's Avenue Q.
I hear Avenue Q is great.
A gritty
Sesame Street R-rated.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Maybe a little extra.
I hear Avenue Q is literally great.
Book of Mormon.
South
Park Boys.
Book of Mormon also seems interesting. I don't know. My wife likes musicals. Moulin Rouge is one of her favorite plays of all time.
I wouldn't say it's great.
It's one of her favorites. I don't know. Shit, I don't care. Anyway, we're not here to talk about fucking Broadway. We're here to talk about video games. So here's what's happening in the world of video games. Now, yesterday, a lot of people were excited for the Halo Infinite multiplayer beta to start. Guess what? It didn't. Apparently, they have a number of delays and issues that they are working through. 343's Brian Gerard said there might be a small shift in schedules for the multiplayer beta. They were trying to launch it yesterday, but didn't happen. As it stands, the servers are not online right now, and that's kind of a bummer because, Chad, I know you were looking very much so forward to getting your hands on the Halo multiplayer with all the customization options and all the new things that they're putting into the game.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they're going to put in the beta, but at least I just wanted to get my hands on like how it plays. Like, do I feel like I was when I was a kid playing Halo with my friends, you know, in the other room? That's the feeling I want. So it's got a lot to live up to.
Well, if they were going to delay anything, they needed to delay the multiplayer just because they have to.
This has to get
right.
Yeah, you're right. If anything, the story could be trash.
Yes.
But the multiplayer
is what will make or break.
The story is trash. But anyway, so I agree with you guys. Apparently, according to their schedule, weekend one, which was this weekend, was supposed to be the 4v4 Slayer matches specifically for that. There were going to be specific times that you could log on, which I don't know why betas do this. I understand that you want to have a window in which you have committed all of your energy towards.
Yeah.
But I think beta windows, like times, are just dumb. Just keep it open for the weekend and let people break it as much as humanly possible.
Well, I mean, I don't know, because it's like, yes, you want them to break it, but at the same time, if they come in and it's a broken, janky mess, you know, the more that it gets publicized, I think the more it hurts them in the long term.
I mean, but
it's scary.
We earlier this week talked about the Call of Duty Vanguard beta and how there's already modders and cheaters and stuff like that. And, you know, for me, the big red mark I gave against Activision on that is that don't come out and tout that you're working on this huge new anti-cheat software and then we open up your beta and your beta is a fucking mess.
Yeah.
Like, that was different. I think if you release a beta and people have already found workarounds, then at that point you say, all right, we got to push this off another month. Chad, to your point, it's Halo, it's multiplayer, it must be right. If there's a game that has to get multiplayer right out the gate, it's got to be this game. So I think they're going to be limited, but seeing how everything has already been pushed back because I guess they found something critical, you know, I'd rather them do that than try to put something out and it's jank. So.
I'm curious if this will push back the actual game. We'll see.
We'll see. I mean, I hope not, because this motherfucker has been delayed since forever.
Last year.
So
it was supposed to be a title release with the Series X and S.
Yeah, you're right. So
it feels weird to say that, but I mean, you know what? I'll say this. If this game is everything it lives up to for me, I'm actually going to go out and buy an Xbox Elite, the high-end controller, just to play this game. I will do that because I'd be that
commitment.
Listen, I'm gonna be honest. That is the only reason to ever own an Elite controller is to play Halo.
I just want to play Halo back like how it used to be. That's all I want.
You know what? And I agree with you. Wow, we're going to get on controllers later on. But China, being China, decided they was going to do something weird. You know what they did? They declare all cryptocurrencies illegal in the entire country of China.
Okay.
First of all, by the way.
So what if you already own it?
This, you can't use it in China.
You'd have to like either. So, okay.
I mean, remember, it's not transferable.
It's not transferable to yuan.
Okay, so I guess my question is, that's what they use, yuan. Owning it's not illegal. It's utilizing it as a spending it
because it's anonymous. They can't technically
They can't come to you and say you got crypto.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah, remember it's blockchain, so it's like you're not a person.
Yeah, but a lot of people are like openly like I have crypto.
Well, then you fucking yourself up if you Chinese. Yeah.
Well, what if? Okay, so what about owning stock in crypto?
Well,
is that different?
Yeah, I think that would be declared.
Okay.
Illegal.
Yeah.
Okay. I think though the thing that this is going to impact me like at least the most that comes to mind is esports orgs like TSM just did that huge cryptocurrency deal.
Yeah.
CSGO has partnered with cryptocurrency to do the leagues and stuff like that. So it's never coming to China now.
Yeah. So here's the thing.
Know.
Two big things happen. That's a very good point because the valuation on a lot of these coins, I think, probably is taking a pretty big hit. Because if you ain't in the Chinese market, you ain't really nowhere.
Yeah.
But I think the big thing for you guys out there in podcast land is this could potentially free up a ton of fucking graphics cards for you guys.
Oh my God.
And chips for folks to actually
bonus.
And chips that they use to make these high end graphics cards and PlayStations and Xboxes because farming for cryptocurrency is incredibly energy intensive, and these people, the reason why Yo Punk has not been able to get a 3090 is not because people have gone out and bought them in droves. No, bots have been buying them so people can go and farm cryptocurrencies because it takes a lot of processing and graphical power to do it.
We've talked on this show before in the past couple of months about them finding like entire farm buildings, like just full of PCs that are
running. It's like servers, essentially.
Yeah, just huge giant servers to just get in cryptocurrency. It used to be, you remember how like 5-10 years ago it used to be if you just saw a random ass building that just got rehabbed out of nowhere and with a fresh coat of paint, you're like, that's a grow op. They are growing copious amounts of marijuana in that building. And now it's not that anymore. It's like, that is a Bitcoin building. Like, they are farming
really
crypto.
Thick wires in there for all the power.
Yes, just thick wires coming in from all directions.
Looks like Doofenshmirtz lives there.
Doofenshmirtz. you just walk past and it's instantly 30 degrees hotter than everywhere else.
Static electricity as you walk by. What's happening?
It's terrible. So with China declaring it illegal, I think that is possibly something that could free up a lot of these graphics cards. So if you are looking to build a new PC in the next few months, I would say hold off. Don't buy stuff yet.
Yeah, let's see.
Wait a minute and see if some of these high-end cards free up because
especially after the holiday.
Yeah. Especially after the holidays because this could be a big, huge deal. Now,
I was planning on buying a new PC or building a new one, and I'm telling you, the market's still like.
Oh, I'm sure. It's nuts.
I'm ready. I'm ready for this.
Yeah, it's nuts. And according to PC Gamer, they said Ethereum, which is one of the big names in cryptocurrency right now. 8.5 of all Ethereum is mined in China. So 10% of all the Ethereum in terms of big, you know, crypto is mined in China. So with that being illegal, it does free up the Chinese authorities now to potentially seize these farms.
Because a lot of times when you see these farming things, a lot of them are in China. Like the Pokemon Go one, that was big in China as well. So like all these kind of game kind of farming things you see all the time. So I'm curious.
Yeah, so it's going to be very interesting to see what happens, but you're right. I mean, TSM, Goat Coin, or whatever the fuck it's called.
A whole bunch of esports teams and orgs, have gotten into stuff like this. And, you know, like I said, with the CSGO League, they have just blocked themselves out of an entire market.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's a shame.
Yeah. Now, in a bit of weird news that got me very excited, a new Perfect Dark game is being developed by Crystal Dynamics and Square Enix. That is, you know, the people who made the Tomb Raider reboots, which are all excellent. I suggest if you have not played them to play them. They are better than the Uncharted games in every stretch of the imagination. And I don't care how Chad feels about Nathan Drake or the Uncharted games. The Tomb Raider games are way, way better. So, you know, how do you feel about this, guys? How do you feel about this Weird Bear with Perfect Dark on the horizon coming back? Obviously, it's an old legacy IP. How do you feel about this? Because Perfect Dark, to me, was arguably top five game on the Nintendo 64 back in the day. I thought it was better than GoldenEye by every definable metric. How do you feel about it, this IP getting revived?
You know what I think this really is that game companies have finally mined away all of the easy layup titles that exist for things to go back and remake. Like, seriously, I love this game, but this is a second tier remake.
As far as, like, what people remember.
Well, sales figures, how it did critically. Like, it just wasn't the splash that, you know what I mean? Like, a Super Mario 64.
It was good, but if you would have asked the average gamer what was the best shooter on 64, most people would say GoldenEye. Yeah. Even though Perfect Dark literally is better than GoldenEye. By anything, you would measure something being better than something else by.
Which is actually kind of exciting if you think about it, because I think there's so many games that just didn't have the marketing, didn't have the push, that just kind of got lost, especially early PlayStation 1 and Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
They just kind of got swept under just the lost. Radar. Because like something else came out that was much more popular.
Like, I think of Siphon Filter that came out around the same time as Metal Gear Solid. And it was just like, that game was never, ever, ever going to get any oxygen in a context in which Metal Gear Solid existed.
And I also want to bring up, I know this is kind of, you know, talking a little bit about the stuff that we're talking about later in the show, but we saw other Rare remakes also, or re-releases coming back out. I think it also, Rare is officially an active studio once again. Maybe not developing, but licensing IP, being able to go out and make these deals with different characters and re-releases.
I'm sold. Like, that idea.
I mean, I just think it's because they have the Rare Limited Collection, which is like the you can go and pay for a service to replay some of those games and everything like that. But they now are putting them on many different platforms and being able to bring in a Perfect Dark reboot. I think that's just them, again, seeing a property that they know has a fan base and is asking for something and just went out and was like, here, would you like money, sir?
And I think it's very interesting, too, that they would let, you know, Crystal Dynamics really take it over and put their spin on it, because, again, I think they did a great job with the Tomb Raider game. So I'm excited to see if it will be more action-oriented as opposed to FPS. They may switch it to third person. Who knows?
It'll be a nice switch.
I think it'd be interesting to put it in third person,
honestly,
to be honest.
I feel like third person is, it leaps and bounds better, like, right now where we are in gaming. It just feels better. There's a lot more, like, naturalness, especially in games like Perfect Dark, where I imagine it's going to be, like, I don't know, very Tomb Raider-esque, you know?
Well, I mean, you have to remember, it's just like, if you were to take, if you go back and play GoldenEye right now as it originally was,
it's jank.
It's the
bad.
Worst.
Yeah.
So there's, like, there's mechanics, I think, that just, like, they have to change, just make it palatable in, you know what I mean, like, in 2021. Mm-hmm. I think you have to do a third person or change something fundamental.
We need that Resident Evil-style remake.
Yeah,
I think the last Perfect Dark game we got was in 2005 with Perfect Dark Zero on the 360, which was middling scores. But anyway, that's going to be it for part one. And part two, you know we had to talk about it. It is only the best stream we got all freaking year, the Nintendo Direct right before TGS. We got all the announcements coming up. Checkpoint Daily.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Bring the heat. Share your thoughts on socials with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow's show.
Hey, everybody. Checkpoint Daily is returned. Your host, Norris Howard, here alongside Weird Beer and Chad Callahan. Don't forget, go to our website, checkpointxp.com, where we'll be having even more news about all the stuff that you want to hear about. Games, esports results, college esports results, happiness, Marvel news, sadness, as well as a few other really, really awesome things. So make sure you guys go on over to checkpointxp.com. Now, Nintendo Direct. Weird Beer, I will say this, and I will say this right now. You have been vindicated.
Yeah!
I've talked a lot of shit about you and your love for Nintendo all year long.
That's fine.
And I'm going to just say this right now, okay? I'm happy you got the Direct you deserve.
It feels good. It feels like sometimes you just put a win on the board, and you look at the W for a minute. You're like, "We did that."
It's like when Appalachian State beat University yes. of Michigan. You just look at it, and you just go, "I don't care that it was a decade ago.
Don't care. That one feels good."
I'm gonna just go out on a limb. This is by far and easily the best stream, the best Direct, the best keynote, whatever you want to call it, of the year, period. It's the best.
You know what it feels like? It feels like if you go back and watch some of the classic E3 presentations from like from Sony or from Microsoft.
This was a 2000s era E3 yes. presentation. Yeah. That's how strong it was.
So good.
Which is interesting because we were giving PlayStation some props earlier, and even still, like, they were stronger. It got me a little hype. Well, this was hype entirely.
Before we talk about what people or what announcements mm-hmm. happened, let's talk about the stream itself, because the stream was 45 minutes of just snap, 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 snap. Mm-hmm. Like, it was the best, like, organized overall presentation comparative to like Gamescom, which yeah. felt bloated.
They have gotten so much better at the directs, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And again, it's Nintendo because they are so committed to their brand and so committed to we are Nintendo and this is what the fuck we do, that like they still have a way to be able to feel specifically like Nintendo mm-hmm. without going into the whole like, let's always trot Miyamoto out. And yeah. Like in the early 2010s, that was their thing. It's like, we're Nintendo. Where's Miyamoto? Here you go. Talk about Mario.
Oh, he's next to Mario.
Yay! Oh, wow, and it was like, that was their MO. But the stream, and we gave Sony the same amount of praise because I think the Sony last State of Play was about the same amount of time.
Yeah.
But it still had its fair amount of bloat. There was some bloat to it. Not a lot. Not a lot of fat to trim, but it had some.
A lot of their own promotions within there yeah. that felt like, okay, all right, cool. Like, I know that you are PlayStation. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to remind me.
Yeah, I think that's the vibe from this was Nintendo was like, you know what's up. You know yeah. why
you
we're
know
here.
You know why we're here.
That's the, it.
That's what I love about the Nintendo, like, snap intro that they do. It is literally, like, it's just 1 second, 1.5 seconds is snap, done. Onto
the shit. Mm-hmm. So, great. With that said, onto the shit.
All right.
So,
yeah,
I got it.
All right.
I got it. So before I want to start first and foremost, I don't want to go in chronological order. I want to go in order of hype.
Yes.
Okay? Because let me say this right now. All right? We went almost 2,000 days. We went 2,000 plus days with no news about Bayonetta 3. And not only did these motherfuckers confirm Bayonetta 3, tell us it was coming out next year, they gave us gameplay. This is how you do an announcement.
All of it.
Yeah.
Period.
And it also, for a while.
It makes the people who were complaining like, why won't you let Nintendo, or why won't you say anything? We want more updates. And they were like, Nintendo's going to tell you when Nintendo's going to tell you. And people were like, what? And then it's literally like 2 weeks after that happened. It's like, boom, in your face, here's everything.
But this is how you do it when you're talking about a game that you know people anticipate. This is in a weird way, Bayonetta always becomes the most one of the most anticipated games, and then it goes away for like 3 years, and then it pops the fuck back up, and everybody's super hype again. And this is how you do it. You don't do it with a fucking bullshit 3-second teaser with the shadow of some like character that you recognize. Yeah, don't do that shit anymore. Don't do it anymore. If it's not ready, if it's not gameplay ready for us to look at it, just don't show it anymore.
Yeah, it's very like it's very tardish where they're just like, "Woohoo, boys! Don't forget that I exist," and then they just leave, and it's like, "What do you know?"
Show a little leg, and then
show a little ankle and stuff, and just be like, "Hey, no, it's stupid."
Yeah.
But this hit, okay?
It was good.
And not only was the trailer good, not only is it quintessentially Bayonetta, there is nothing lost, even though I think the voice actor is changing. She looks as good as she has ever looked, which, let's be honest, that is 90% of the reason why anybody has ever... It doesn't matter what gender you are. That is 90% of the reason why you're going to play Bayonetta is because Bayonetta looks great.
Devil May Cry, you know, regardless of gender, he's either super cool looking or they're hot. Into him.
Bayonetta and Devil May Cry are two sides of that exact same coin. They actually have two heads. There's no tails on that coin because... That's why you play it. So platinum game. It plays well. You beat shit up. Everybody looks hot, and there'll probably be butt shots.
The game looks solid too for being a Switch game. Like, you could have fooled me and told me it was on an Xbox or a PS5, and I would have been like, "It's not the best, but I think it looks good."
Even still, like, it still looks really good.
Yeah. Let me tell you
something. I would say like that actually competes with some of the stuff.
Let me tell you something. And this is and like especially with the Project Eve announcement, which we thought was like a Bayonetta spinoff or something like that. The thing about it is, I actually don't need that great of a detail in the environments and all that other stuff when the focus is the character.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the focus is those thighs.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a very neckbeard argument to be like, "Oh, it's not the perfect representation of real life."
No,
it's a video game. Like, shut
there's
up.
There's little monsters. Yeah.
But it's about what the series is about, right? Dynasty Warriors can be out for 25 years and be that way because the focus is not on making the most accurate representation of Three Kingdoms era China. No, it's about becoming a fucking Super Saiyan on the battlefield and beating up 1,000 people. So where does the detail go in your character?
Now, only 1,000 people?
2,500.
Oh, okay.
Now, the last thing about Bayonetta 3 I really want to say is, like, everyone keeps saying the character at the end, maybe Virgil from Devil May Cry.
It's not Virgil. It's the angel baby.
We'll see.
Angel Baby could be Virgil.
Yes, we don't know.
Ooh, we finally get the Devil May Cry Bayonetta crossover we've been asking for.
I just want them to kiss. That's all
There's been weirder shit that's happened in 2021. Don't tell me that is.
Speaking of weirder shit happening in 2021, Miyamoto gets trotted out near the end of the stream.
Big shock.
That's Nintendo. Only to announce the Super Mario movie. Now, this is going to be animated, and listen, unless you've been under a rock, you've already seen all the news around this, but let me just ask this question. What the fuck? Okay,
the number one description for this, Chad, that I said when I walked in today was, this feels like a Reddit shit post where somebody...
hear me out.
Yeah, exactly. Where they're just like, you know who I really think should play Bowser? Jack Black.
He was not only
a panda, which is kind of like Bowser, and you're just like, what are you talking about?
I think people give Jack Black a lot of shit because, you know, he plays like very similar characters, but he's very good at voices.
Okay, go down.
No,
the
his voice acting.
He's really
is
good.
Great.
Chris Pratt as Mario.
Let's just be 100. That's some of the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my whole life.
Do you really think that Illumination Nintendo would trot out people that like Charles Marionette, right? The guy who does the voice for Mario.
Yeah.
Is ancient. Yeah. They're not having him do an entire video of, yes, Mario, yes, why don't we do this?
I know what you mean.
They're going to have, like,
not get, like, an actual Italian guy?
I mean, is Chris Pratt not Italian? I don't know.
Because Italian talks like Mario.
I know that. Here is a question I want to ask because I find this very funny. All right. Is that people were saying Chris Pratt being Mario is low-key racist. And a part of me was like, can white people be racist against other white people?
Yeah, no.
I mean,
and then I got into the whole thing of like, back in the day, of course, Italians and Irish were discriminated against and all that other stuff. And so I get it. But is it to not have an Italian? Because Mario in and of itself is carnal.
That is a take that is so woke it's asleep. Like, it's stupid. Like, that's just...
I mean, if you think that offensive.
Listen, Mario himself, right, was canceled when Super Mario Odyssey came out because he wore a sombrero. And people were like, that's racist against Mexicans as well. And I think it's just like, Mario is a concept of like an Italian plumber who just, I love spaghetti. Like, that's racist as fuck to begin with.
The whole concept of Mario was already problematic. If you really, really want to break it down.
That doesn't bother you?
Chris Pratt as Mario is not the problem.
Okay, so I'm all right. Then. So I'm happy you guys said that because I didn't think it was necessarily my place to tell, people of European descent how to sort their own house out. But I agree. I think this is the dumbest thing. This is the stupidest hill to die on.
It's the same equivalent as just generally saying that all British people have bad teeth. You know, it's that level.
No, that's also being like, oh, Charlie Day's not as tall as Luigi in real life, so he can't fucking voice him. I think that it's stupid.
The rest of the cast, though, is good.
I was about to say, listen, I still think Chris Pratt is weird. I think it's a weird choice. But, I actually think the rest of the cast is fucking spot on.
Michael Key is Toad.
Confirmed black, by the way.
Seth Rogen as DK.
Donkey Kong.
I want to see DK get high. That's what I want.
If I hear...
My bananas, bro.
Bananas.
He doesn't need to be high, but they need to allude that he has some substance in him. Whether bananas, whatever.
The Donkey Kong casting between Keegan-Michael Key as Toad, it's one of those things where it's just like, are they just literally scrolling Twitter for hot takes and then just going, all right, that's going in.
I'm here for it, though.
Brought this on yourselves. This is what you did for tweeting it, because I told you, it's a shit post.
They did.
It's still, regardless of what happens, I think I'll be excited for it, because one, Illumination. Fucking fantastic animation.
Oh, like, absolutely.
They do great work. The voice acting is always on point. Because Gru, until I knew who it was, I had to watch the ending, the credits. Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
Did you know Steve Carell?
I didn't recognize it right away. And his mom, who's got that really gravelly voice, is, I'm blanking on her name. But she was Mary Poppins, that woman. I'm blanking on her name. But yeah, she sounds nothing like her. Nothing like her. You would have never known. So they're really good at picking people who you wouldn't recognize their voice, and then you're like, holy shit, I didn't know that was them. So
Do you think Mario characters will replace the minions for like boomer memes after this?
Yep.
Dude,
maybe.
That'd be great. I would totally boomer memes would be acceptable again.
Yeah. So the next big huge announcement that I think in between certain people expected it, but they didn't expect how far they would go, is the announcement that coming to the Switch Online, which in my opinion is at this point about to start rivaling, not necessarily Game Pass in terms of new games, but in terms of what you get for what you pay, is one of the best values in video games. 64 games... N64 games and Genesis games coming to the Switch Online package. There will be an additional fee if you want to play the 64 and Genesis games, but more SNES games, more NES games coming to that service. I'm going to be honest, for about a year and a half, this was all I used my Switch for.
And I will also say that this has been the thing that's been leaked for a year and a half. People have been saying, like, 64 games are going to come.
Yeah.
So this means that I bet you the Game Boy Color and the Game Boy games coming is definitely going to happen as well.
It's going to be interesting because they're kind of smart about this. Because instead of just being like, this is part of the arcade or whatever you want to call it, they're doing these expansions. So they can always add more. You know, you want the Game Boy one now. That's an additional whatever.
Well, the thing is that's why it was smart for them to start it out at $3 a fucking month.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? Yeah.
Like, the whole thing is $20 for the whole year. So, I mean, it was super intelligent for them to do that. Because now, for most people, you already pay that to watch Hulu. Like, you already pay that to, for the month, like, between Netflix and Hulu, that's $20. So, yeah. I mean, for most people, the price, it could be an extra $10. Nobody's going to care
about it. Yeah. You forget about it and it rolls over because, like, shit, it was my year to cancel.
But the thing is, for me, I use the fuck out of it. Yeah. And even understanding and seeing the games that are actually coming out for this thing is one of the most exciting announcements I have ever seen in the history of Nintendo shit.
Are you gonna?
I was even disappointed when they were about to, when they were like, N64 games. I was like, dope, but I bet you the games are going to be fucking terrible.
Are you going to pre-order the controllers?
Fuck no!
I was curious if anyone.
No!
Part of me wants the N64 one real
bad. I was about to say, low key, I might fuck around and get the 64 controller.
Even though I never really loved it.
Just because it is the dumbest controller ever conceived, and yet.
I still kind of want it.
I still love it. But just looking at the games, and Rick, you were saying, like, oh, the games are going to suck. Like, besides Ocarina of Time and, you know, Mario 64, we knew that those got to come regardless. Yeah. Those got to be there. But even understanding that Mario Kart, Star Fox 64, which is my third favorite game in all of Nintendo 64, is awesome. But then these motherfuckers went and got some deep cuts. They went and got Sin and Punishment and Win Back and put them on there. Do you know how fucking weird Win Back is? Win Back is fucking dumb, okay? But I love that game. It's a Metal Gear Solid knockoff. For all intents and purposes, it's not supposed to be good. It fucked around. It was great.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things that I got so hype off of, and then my 80s baby, early 90s kid sitting in my Power Rangers pajamas fucking melted inside of my own body because they came out and said the Genesis games is coming as well on the service. We hitting you with the Genesis controllers, and we hitting you with some classes. Contra Hardcore, Sonic 2, which is the best Sonic. I don't give a fuck how you feel about it. Echo the Dolphin, Streets of Rage 2, Gunstar Heroes, Golden Axe.
And to top this all off, they ended it saying, and don't think that these are the only games coming, they promised off-rip Majora's Mask and F-Zero X being, like, specifically soon to be added.
Also, Banjo-Kazooie.
Dog!
Like,
oh, God. I've been jonesing for Banjo.
Let me tell you something. This is one of the biggest W's I've ever seen a video game company have. And the reason why is because this is such a forgotten era of video games that like you said, Chad, that early PlayStation kind of Nintendo 64 era, the 64-bit era.
Yeah.
It's just people.
If it didn't get lauded by like Game Informer magazine, you didn't know about it.
You didn't know about it. And that era was so pure, man. And I'm just very happy to see a lot of those video games finally starting to get the love that they deserve, because we've seen pixel remasters of fucking everything.
Yeah.
We've seen, you know, the only games I haven't seen get straight up remasters is like the old Star Wars trilogy that came out for Super Nintendo.
I'll
so
wait for the next announcement.
Yeah, so I'm super excited for this whole announcement. It was great.
I would also say another thing that really kind of perked my ears up alongside with the actual, like, overall things that Nintendo announced. How did you guys feel about Triangle Strategy?
I'm in. I'm buying it flat out.
I'm in. I already know. And the minute I saw
Final
the
Fantasy
game,
Tactics,
I was like, this is going to be a great game. Change the fucking name. Then what did they do? They took out Project and called it Triangle Strategy. Go fuck yourself.
I bet you think that they did that because they saw how many people talked about it after the last time
it was
like, shown.
Shit, now we can't say, like, change the name because then everyone's going to get confused. Probably. Yes. I just hate it. I just hate the name. It sounds stupid, but
it does sound stupid, but I'm buying the game.
I'm going to buy it. I already know I will. I know I'm going to love it. Based on, like, the fact that it looked like it was a strategy game with environmental factors, blows my mind.
Yeah, I'm in. And listen, it's taking the shit you love about Octopath, making it not as grindy, because for me, strategy games tend to not be as grindy because each battle takes a fucking hour.
Especially on auto battle.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to this. I think it looks good. But let's talk about another one of the giant, huge announcements. Kirby and the Forgotten Land.
Yes!
Open world Kirby game.
Here's my thing. And this is like one of those hot takes. I will say, I would take a Kirby game over a Mario game any day.
Same. Same.
Any day. Kirby's always been a favorite. I always play Kirby on Smash. He's like low-key the best character.
What was your first Kirby game?
Kirby's Dream Land. Flat out. What are you talking?
Which the one that came on the color? Because I had that one. And
Kirby's Dream Land.
Is it Dream Land? Okay.
No. Dream Land was original Game Boy.
It was that one.
I think three, maybe.
Okay, three. So then Kirby 3 would have been my first ever one, and it's still one of my favorites. It was that one in Wario World were my two favorite games I ever had for the Game Boy Color or Advance or whatever it was I had. And I loved it.
And you guys know my love for Kirby Superstar.
The game looks really freaking good. Like, not just from a, like, technical perspective, but like, what I wanted in a Kirby game.
It's everything you want in a Kirby game. And the coolest part about it is that, I mean, you got the classic enemies. It's full 3D. You can fly the pop star around in the full 3D space. And so I got halfway through the trailer, and I'm like, this is cool, man, but the one thing that Kirby does that I ain't seen yet is what's up on them powers? What's up on the changing powers? And then he switches to the sword power and the porcupine power.
I bet you there's a lot that they just didn't want to show off.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, if they showed everything, I think, because I'm sure it's going to be a little bit of puzzles.
It's got to be a little bit of puzzles
so you can get to the next area, so you need a certain power, and they don't want to allude to too much.
Dude, I'm just super excited for it because, again, it's a game that I've wanted for a long time. I very rarely play those games that are like, here's a game just to play just because it's a game.
Yeah.
And Kirby always used to give me that fix. But now, seeing this, I can't fucking wait. I literally cannot wait. Also, we got a deeper look into Metroid Dread. We talked about that game at length. Ugh. No need to spend a lot of time on that. It's going to be awesome. Comes out October 8th. I'm buying it, so you might as well just get ready for me to talk about that game all day
long. The only note I'll make with that is notice how much Nintendo is paying attention to its legacy brands right now. Metroid, Kirby, you have Mario, you have Zelda.
And
because
they're bringing back the old games.
Hold on. Yes. Fucking ActRaiser is coming back. Are you serious? Are you serious?
Yes.
This is something they used to play on Nick Arcade.
Yes.
Like, come on, bro. I can't wait. And not only that, it looks great.
Even Bayonetta looks so good. Call one of their legacy brands that they're really focusing on.
Yeah, they're going back and DK is next on the line, I promise you.
I mean, they're really focusing on DK in that movie a lot.
Yes.
There's a lot of DK characters.
Well, I told you that they're going to be opening a DK world attached to the Super Mario world in Japan.
Yeah.
So, like, DK is next on the list to be the star of the year.
By the way, I don't know if you guys knew this, but did you know that the guy who did the music for ActRaiser is the same guy who did the music for Streets of Rage.
I did not know that either.
So he can do everything. but obviously, we got a few more announcements. Castlevania Advance Collection.
Great.
We also got to look at Chocobo GP, which is Final Fantasy Mario Kart.
Yeah, like, that's the only lukewarm announcement from
this. Seriously. Even Disco Elysium coming to the Switch is a good move. You now can play that everywhere. Again, the literal smartest video game on the planet.
Yes.
Like, if you do not have a master's in psychology, you can't play the game. Voice of Cards, Isle Dragon Roars, which, again, not my kind of game, but also looked very interesting, a very interesting take on the card game. And Splatoon 3, also looking really good.
I know how many people are so hype about that game.
Well, you know, Splatoon is like...
It's a huge esport.
I was about to say, outside of like Dota, is one of the biggest esports in China because there's no like blood and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so... I know the Chinese market is losing it over Splatoon 3.
So there's two things that weren't talked about in this direct are
the obvious.
Super Smash and Animal Crossing. And that's because they both have their own directs that are happening.
Which is so intelligent.
Yeah.
It's intelligent. You don't waste time. You don't get that. Get that out the way.
It's nice too, because then, like, for those who are interested in that, they could go and watch it. If you're not, don't.
But their communities are big enough to where it almost feels unfair to make people who are there for Smash sit through everything else.
Yeah.
Same thing for Animal Crossing. And it's also unfair for the motherfuckers who don't give two shits about Animal Crossing like me.
Well, it also shows that they have enough to do an entire presentation about just Animal Crossing stuff or just Smash stuff.
And that's the thing that I'm very curious about both those games. Because, again, I'm not interested really in Animal Crossing, but I love following what goes into the game. I'm not that interested in Smash anymore, but I'm interested to see what goes in the game. Smash, Animal Crossing I get because there's a lot you can add to Animal Crossing.
Yeah, they can spend 10 minutes on cosmetics alone. Yeah.
Smash, they're saying it's the final character. Obviously, we'll get some gameplay and the mechanics and all that. But what else could they announce?
What's the most disappointing final character they could add? Like, cause that's why
Master Chief.
I don't know if that...
That would disappoint the hell out of me.
Another Fire Emblem
That's what
character.
I'm worried about. I feel like they're going to like really shit the bed and do that.
That's how I feel, too.
I feel like
they'll put in Master Chief as a fucking meme. And I just think that's boring.
I think they're doing a thing because they even set it up in the press conference as direct. This will be the last presentation for Super Smash Ultimate.
Yep.
It is the last one. So they are going to, whatever they roll out is... The rollout.
The new.
Yeah.
Not just the new. It's like, this is it. This is the final version of the game. This is the final, you know, character you're going to get. This is it.
But what else would they say?
I don't know.
They're going to add, like, Miis. They might expand the single player, the Path of Light stuff.
Do you think that this would be an interesting opportunity for them to be like, whole new Smash?
No.
You don't make
that announcement
who,
here.
Who, yeah, because,
I don't know why it would, but I don't know.
Sakurai is still alive until he dies Highlander style and another person steals
rises up.
Sakurai's done with Ultimate, so it's like it's being put to rest until the next Avatar.
Yeah. Okay. So I agree. But anyway, that's going to be it for Checkpoint Daily. We will be back on Monday with even more news, commentary, and funnies. So make sure you guys have a great weekend, stay safe, and enjoy some of this nice fall weather we got going. With that said, for Weird Beard, Chad Callahan, I'm your host, Norris Howard, and we hope you all have a really, really great one. See you later.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.